Today's words of wisdom will be presented in English with subtitles in Arabic, Alexis or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. More languages are available online. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles. As the increasing impacts of climate change highlight the urgency of reaching an international accord, representatives from many countries convened in Cancun, Mexico for the 16th session of the United Nations Conference of the Parties, or COP16. Held from November 29th to December 10th, 2010, the gathering brought together heads of state and other decision makers seeking solutions to avert further global calamity. At the invitation of the Mexican government, world-renowned spiritual leader and humanitarian Supreme Master Ching Hai also attended the summit. During her stay in Cancun, Supreme Master Ching Hai was invited to share her thoughts on priority climate change measures with the media, among which was Encadena TV, a weekly statewide television program. We now invite you to listen to the following interview with Supreme Master Ching Hai by Encadena TV in Cancun, Mexico on December 9th, 2010.
La Maestra Suprema Ching Hai es una guía espiritual reconocida mundialmente. Artista y humanitaria, su amorosa asistencia se extiende más allá de todas las barreras culturales. Nacida en Vietnam, estudió en Europa y trabajó en la Cruz Roja de Alemania. Estuvo felizmente casada, pero renunció al amor para llevar su mensaje a todo el mundo. Una inquietud que desde pequeña estuvo interesada en ayudar a los demás, pero sobre todo en proteger a los animales.
Y bueno, yo tengo la oportunidad de estar con una persona sumamente interesante, que es la Maestra Suprema Ching Hai. Welcome. I'm very overwhelmed to have this opportunity to be with you here in Cancun.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You are such an interesting. I've been talking about a little minutes with you, and it's great. It's great all the things you do and all the message you have for the world, and looking forward to the earth and to love and to really spirit and blessings.
Gracias.
How do you feel to be here in Mexico again?
Oh, it's one of my favorite places. I could stay here forever. I love the people. I love the people especially. They're so pure and so warm-hearted and so welcome and so hospitable. I think that's why everybody likes to come to Mexico, no? Not just me.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe you were talking about like Mexican people are so warm-hearted and
yes.
And focus on treating people well.
Yes, very, very, very well. Every one of them. Anyone, even on the street, on the taxi driver, in the restaurant, anywhere. You just pick any Mexican and they make you happy.
Thank you. Yes. That's very sweet from you.
It's true like that, yes.
Thank you. But you are such an interesting woman because you've been all your life dedicated and focused on helping the environment and helping people. When did you start your work?
More than 20 years ago, maybe almost 3 decades, yes. But when I was younger, I was always already interested in how to protect people, how to help people, how to protect the animals, which I see suffering so much. But I begin officially, like maybe since 1983, yes.
And why did you start? What happened to you that you said, like, I need to give this message to all the world about, like, helping the animals and the environment and how we are all connected?
Yes, yes. Originally, it started first with humans, yes. what I saw on TV. You know, I was working for the Red Cross, International Red Cross in Germany, and I worked for the refugees issues, and I saw so much suffering because people are displaced by war, by disasters. Yes, and I watch TVs. It's always some very suffering news for people, and then I start to question, what can I do to help my fellow humans? Then I start questioning, and I started my quest for whatever can I do. And that's how I go to find the answer, you know? And then I go to ask the wise masters, yes, like the Buddha. At first I pray, I didn't know any master at that time, so I just prayed to the Buddhas, prayed to Jesus. My father is Catholic, my grandmother is a Buddhist, so I'm brought up in both, and I compare the writing of the master, the teaching of the two, and I thought it's the same. Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
I once read that it's beautiful, like it's a poster that it like the true religions.
Yes.
And it said God is so big that he didn't fit in one. So it's like all the same.
Yes, it's the same.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Oh, that's a good saying, yeah. The thing is, Master, like Lord Jesus, are the representative of heaven who has sent down here to help us, to enlighten us, to remind us to live the way of the righteous children of God. And Buddha is the same, also sent from heaven.
Yes.
Same with Prophet Muhammad, and same with Guru Nanak, same with Mahavira, same with Krishna. Yeah, many, I cannot name them all here, yes. They all teach the same message, like we have to love each other and help each other and to live in peace.
So you start like just praying, like so overwhelmed about the situation that the world was living back then.
Yes.
And then what do you do?
And then I cannot enjoy my peaceful life as a married woman. I was married to a physician. He has two doctor grades, dentist doctor and also medical doctor. So two doctor, yes. And he really was so much in love with me, and we were in love with each other. It was very difficult, but I thought there's something bigger I have to do than just continue be a housewife. Mm-hmm. Actually, I just left home, and I begged him to forgive me. It was very difficult. I was crying, and he was very sad. And I wrote many poems about that, about how sad I was to leave him.
Well, maybe sometimes the right thing to do and the hardest thing to do are the same.
Very hard, yes.
So giving back to you, almost 30 years later, you are here and working for the planet and going all around the world, and the government and the people look for you.
They do?
Yes, of course they
I
do.
Don't know.
You've been writing books. It's like From Crisis to Peace. It's your last book.
Yes. Actually, I wasn't writing it. It's just my association members, they collected from many different lectures that concerning this climate change topic and how to prevent it. So they collected my lectures and edited and put in that book for people.
You told me that the earth is been like in bulb of blessings.
Yes.
And all through history we've been like destroying it. Tell me a little about this.
Okay. When God created this planet, it was all for us to have comfort and beauty and blessing. And so we have many crisscrossing spiritual blessing line all over the world, all over the planet. Yes, it's difficult to see these because they're ultralight, ultra supra light. Mostly people cannot see it. In the world, only seven people can see it. I myself included. Yes, and then these spiritual blessing line come from one of the highest heaven, the fifth level of heaven. And it's supposed to make us happy all our lives and everything will be in abundance. But people start to do violent things, killing each other, and then later also killing the animals en masse, you know, too much killings. But it takes thousands of years of doing that to destroy some of the spiritual blessing lines. It's not like 1 or 2 years that we can destroy it. But now there are some are broken, some are intact.
And what do you say that we can do to prevent that?
We have to, like, if you drive in the wrong direction on the highway, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Then you just have to return to the right way, that's it. You know, instead of heading south, we go north if we want to be in the north. You know, the law of like attract like. Yes? So if we want to have benevolence from heavens, we have to start to be benevolence. We have to show sign that we want benevolence. We want peace. We cannot show sign to heaven because we are the children of God. Whatever we want will come true. Children of God, believe it? Just like you are the children of your parents and they are in television business or movies business. So if you want to be in the movie business, they let you. You see, in the television business, they let you, they train you. But you have to show sign of interest. I want it. You see? Same, same. We are the children of heaven. If we want something, we have to show the sign that we want that. Okay, now, if we want peace, we want benevolence, we want love, blessing from heaven, we have to start showing that by action. We have to love each other. We have to be benevolent to each other. We have to be benevolent to all. Then heaven will say, ah, my children want that. Then that will come. But we cannot just sit and pray peace and peace and benevolence when our actions are in the opposite direction. We cannot go south and then pray to be the north. You see? Yes, this violence and killing of human and animals are the sure sign that we don't want love, that we don't want compassion, that we don't want peace. Don't you think?
I think that's so true.
Is that logical to you?
Yes.
Yes, that's why it is.
So, like, congruent, you know, that we have to do action and speak louder than words.
That's it.
And that's a fact.
Yes.
And we're going to get to a topic that is so hard, yes, and so here right now in our society is the global warming.
Yes.
The climate change, the environment. What is happening to our world? We're destroying it.
Yes, we are.
And global warming, is there a way to prevent it, to stop it?
Yes, we can. There is a way. That is good news. Global warming is caused primarily, you know already, people say it's CO2, okay? I mean carbon dioxide. But carbon dioxide is not as harmful as methane. It's not as heat-trapping as methane and nitrous oxide, for example. Nitrous oxide heat up the planet 300 times more than CO2, more than carbon dioxide. And methane heat up the planet 100 times more than carbon dioxide, CO2. Yes. Now, the methane and nitrous oxide, it's just two of the most potent gases, greenhouse gases that heat up our planet. There are more. Okay, like hydrosulfide, for example, also. It's very deadly also, very deadly. And now, for example, if we stop methane, then the planet cools quicker than when we stop CO2.
Oh.
Okay. And CO2 will stay in the planet for thousands of years even. But the methane, we can stop quicker, because they stay in the planet maybe from 8 to 12 years only. So if we stop these quick dispersing but great heating potential, then we cool the planet fast. And then we can have time to develop more technology.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm. And methane and nitrous oxide came from animal raising.
Animal raising.
All the animals' product.
So we have to stop using animal product to stop the greenhouse effect that,
yes,
is made about methane.
Yes, yes, yes. And, okay, I tell you, from the United Nations and other scientists report, originally they say only 18%, but now they say 51% at least, greenhouse gases came from livestock raising. It's 51%.
Yes.
Understand me? 5-1.
That's so much.
Okay, so if we stop livestock, we stop 51% of global warming. You follow me?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then, instead of that, we plant organic farming. Organic farming will absorb 40% of CO2, of the carbon dioxide.
Yes.
You see that? So just by stopping animals' products and growing organic vegetable.
What is made about organic vegan?
Vegetable, yes.
I read a little about your book and like the diets you have about what is made.
What is made of?
Yes.
Of the food that we eat. Protein have two sources, animal protein and vegetable protein. The diet of the Mexican consisted of beans in the ancient times. Beans and corn. Yes. These are the best. They have a lot of protein in there already.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Pork have only like 16%, including cholesterol, fat, and all the hormones and all the antibiotic medicine in it, which make the people sick. That's why the meat-eating people often die younger. If you are vegan, you live up to 15 years more.
Okay.
15, yes. Because all the heart disease, all the cancers, all the disease in the world are caused by meat eating, by animals product, even toxic from the fish, mercury, all kind of deadly disease, deadly, fatal even, came from eating cows, sheep, pigs, or even wild animals, even AIDS that is spreading all over the planet and kill many people. Came originally from eating the wild monkeys to begin with, and then now it's spread all over AIDS, and it costs millions of lives, it costs billions of dollars to heal it, and not heal it even, not control it even.
And we have to control it because, like you said before, like we have to focus on making it right and looking forward to the earth and stop like the climate change. And we are all connected between each other, even with the animals.
Yes, yes.
And that's something we don't understand, maybe, in our world. We have to look forward by helping each other and protecting each other.
Yes, and protect the environment and the animals. Because every time we kill something, it's the law of the universe. Yeah. That if we kill or if we harm something, we have to share our spiritual merit with that. So how many animals we eat, we share all our spiritual bank account with that animals, and then we are depleted. We get poorer and poorer spiritually, poorer. And if you don't have spiritual merit enough, then you have to pay with your health, your luck, or your family member peace. And then larger, we pay with peace in the world. We have to pay the price for having no peace.
We are all connected.
Yes,
yes.
Each other. Like that. You're right.
And you've been traveling all around the world. Like I said before, you have been to Mexico City. I read that you have been in Paris. You have been in so many places. And what do you think that our humanity is prepared for that message? Prepared to more than a climate change, a social change?
I do hope, because we just try to inform everyone as many as we can, and I'm sure people are aware of it, but they just need to change, that's all. Instead of having that piece of meat, we have the whole planet. You know, right now everybody just focus on CO2, like have to stop the airplanes, stop the coal industry, stop the car, and then what do? Walk? How far can you go with a bicycle? To Mexico City, bicycle? Okay. You see, we can still keep all that, because CO2 is not yet our number one enemy. Number one enemy is methane. The greenhouse gases that trap heat more than CO2, but disappear quickly from our atmosphere. So if we stop this potential heat trapping and let them disappear quick, then our planets cool down first. And then, of course, when we still have the planet, we still have time to develop green technology. Because even if we develop green technology, it takes a long time to install everywhere, number one. Number two, we haven't tested all of them if they are safe to use. For example, at the United Nations, in one of the sections that I attend, they suggest using new technology to trap the CO2. You know, trap the carbon dioxide gas and bury it in the ground. How safe can it be?
You never know. We have radioactive.
Yes. It's not only that, but if something leaking out, it will be in our soil. Yeah? Yes. Poisonous. And then it will be in our water. And then we were eating poison potatoes, drinking poison water. Do you understand me?
Yes.
We already poisoned enough here.
So CO2 is not our biggest enemy. It's methane.
Yes. It's, of course, it's better we have less. Yes. But we don't have time now to develop so quick technology. You see, even in my place where I live, I use a hybrid car or electric car. But here, I want to find a car.
And you can't.
You cannot, you know? So they have to rent a Mercedes, for example, or the Ford for us to transport around. But of course, I go as short distance as possible. And then I go from the hotel to the Messe, and then leave the car there. And then I go with the buses, you know, to Moon Palace or elsewhere that I need to go.
Yes, it's like we need to be prepared for that. Yes. And that will take some years. Because not everybody had like the opportunity to get that information.
Yes.
And like, you know, the opportunity to get an electric car.
Yes, yes.
And to reduce.
Because that's not available even.
Yes, I know.
Not enough
it's
for
not
everybody.
It's not even available.
Not enough for everybody yet. You see? So the CO2, we can just let it go for the moment. Let it sleep there. Because it will be there for thousands of years anyway. But we have the solution. If we plant all the tillable land on the planet, then we can absorb 40%. We plant it with organic material, yes? It's better for health even, yes? And it's more economy, it's less water using, less labor. And then we can absorb even 40% of the CO2 in the air already. You see? And we have another 51% from stopping the animals industry, and because of that, we will save trillions of dollars from the mitigation cost.
Yes, and education, do you think is a key for the people, education in that side?
Yes.
We need to invest in it, we need
yes.
to tell the government.
Yes, the government must invest in this, have a lot of information, grassroots, you know, like to begin with. The government should subsidize organic farming and encourage people to change into organic farming. It can be fast. You know, the cows don't live that long. We just let them live until they die naturally, and then from then we don't raise anymore. The reason we have so many cows, for example, because we force them to breed, force them by medicine even, by hormones, to make them, and then we squeeze the milk out of the cow until his bones become all broken. He cannot even walk. That's why I don't even take milk. I don't take cheese. Before, I did not even know that. It's not like everybody knows everything. I also did not know this until I go research, you know, more. Then the more I know, the more I think vegan diet is the best for everyone, for the health also.
And right now, like, our world is, you will get to the limit that you won't eat an apple without hormones in it.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. But at least, if the government encourage organic farming and subsidize for that, instead of subsidize meat, the meat costs very cheap because the government subsidizes it. For example, in America, without the taxpayers' money to subsidize the animal industry, then a hamburger would cost maybe $30 or $200, not $1 like that,
yes.
You see? So you're eating your tax, you're eating your own money, and having a disease and abnormal hormone level in your body, in cholesterol and everything, all these poisonous antibiotics. Even if we take antibiotic, we have to take it a little bit, only when we need it. But they keep feeding the animals to keep, because they raise them in a farm industry that is very filthy, and the animal easily gets sick, so they give a lot of antibiotic all the time. Imagine eating all that.
Yes, it's very harmful for our health.
Yes, whenever you're sick, even if you don't want to take antibiotic, if the doctor prescribed to you, then you take it maybe for a week only, and then you know it's not good for you, or you stop. Then you eat the animals, we have it every day.
Yes.
So that's why people are going crazy, you know. They cannot think straight and they are sick.
That's very worrying.
And all the money going to the hospital as well.
Yes. And in Mexico, how do you see the problem in our country? You have been so many times, you have been in Mexico City, you have been here. What do you think that Mexico is going through? Like in this
desertification. Yes. Desertification is a lot in your country. More than 50% of the land has become desert or going to be a desert now because of deforestation. Yes, and therefore it's endangered the life of people because they cannot cultivate. If always flooding and then drought. You see, drought because we don't have enough trees to keep the water in the ground. The trees are the keepers of the water and then recycle it in the ground so that it distributes evenly, enough quantity at a time. But if we cut all the trees, then we will have a lot of flood because the water will keep running down, nothing to keep it in the ground, and then it's still run and wasted. The land will have no water, no moisture, and then no cultivation possible. And then nothing keep in the ground, so we don't even have water in the ground to dig out to even use.
That is so very important. We have seen in all these last years, all the floods, yes, all the disaster, yes, we've been going through our country, Veracruz, Chiapas, Ciudad de Mexico,
yes,
here right now, 5-6 years ago,
yes,
we had Wilma hurricane, yes, and we see the water is so strong,
yes,
and it makes such a disaster, and we don't see far away, far from that,
yes,
that it's a problem of we have no trees.
Yes, yes,
that's what you're
no
saying.
Trees. And because of raising animals or because of deforestation for any other reason, too inconsiderate management of the forest. And then mostly is to raise animal or to grow the crop to feed the animals instead of feeding human. We have like 1 billion people hungry right now on our planet. Yeah, but the grain that we make is enough to feed 2 times the whole world. But we feed it all to the animals instead. Yeah. And it takes a lot of water, like many hundred times more water to cultivate a piece of meat than to have organic vegetable, like soya, corn, very little. Mm.
Yes. And most of our people here in Mexico live from agriculture. It's
yes,
a very...
Yes.
It's concerned.
Yes, and now if they don't have water, then they cannot cultivate. Because the land become dry and crack, desert, yes, because of deforestation for animals, mostly used for animal products. Even if they can cultivate, the flood will come out and wash everything away, and people will have nothing.
Yes.
They become beggars, you know, they lose not only their money, their livelihood, but they lose their dignity also.
I know.
Normally they are independent, they can take care of themselves, and they can grow vegetable and everything, and they can even sell it. But if the flood come, wash everything away, not they cannot even have enough to eat. You see what I mean?
Yes.
The more we talk about it, the more I feel very sorry for the people. It should not be this way. Of course, we can inform everybody and tell them to make the choice to be organic vegan. But if the government help, it would be faster. You know, the government has more power than you,
yes,
and
of
I.
Course.
We can appeal to different people, but just a group and a city. The government, if they lead the process, you know, they print out leaflets, educate people, make websites, and subsidize the farmer, the poor farmer, to change into organic vegan. Then not only we can absorb CO2, we have good livelihood for people. Because right now organic food is very on demand, it's very high,
yes,
on demand.
We appreciate your enlightened company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Join us again tomorrow for part 2 of Interview with Supreme Master Ching Hai by Encadena TV in Cancun, Mexico, during the 16th session of the United Nations Conference of the Parties, or COP16. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, coming up next after Noteworthy News. With heartfelt prayers, wishing you and your loved ones many blessings from heaven.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.